We want to continue the second part of the sermon about the Babylonian system. And the first part that we covered went back to the beginning of Babel and showed what God had said and what man did. And they developed a system that was totally contrary to God. And what we want to find show is that that same system is going to continue from that time, and it continues to our time, and it will continue into the future. But it's all the same system based upon certain qualities and characteristics, and we gave a list of a number of those characteristics about Babylon and the Babylonian system. And I'd like to repeat just a few of them as we will go on then into what is happening today and what will happen in the future. But what we found about Babel and the whole system was that it was founded in defiance of God. It was founded by a strong man, and the people were gathered together in defiance of what God's instructions were to go out and spread yourself upon the whole face of the earth. Man brought them into a city and into a small area. We found that the system wanted to be more powerful than anybody else around them, and it was a system that dominated people. And the more powerful the system became, the more oppressive and suppressive the system becomes. And we're going to see that in, as time goes down into the future, that that same system is going to put more and more pressure upon people to become under their authority and under their rule. And you're going to find a system that is basically going to say, you will do it this way, and that's the only way. Personal freedoms are going to go out the window, because Satan doesn't believe in personal freedom. He believes in a hierarchical system of government that you will do it my way. We found that the system was one who offered protection other than from God. God says he was our protector. What the system says, we will protect you. Kind of reminds you a little bit of what we see going on in our world today, right? We will take care of you from birth to death. And they don't do either, but that's what their promise is, that they will protect us apart from God. They offered personal safety. So we found this whole system that was based upon those qualities of a mighty hunter before God back in the times of Nimrod and the city of Babylon. So now we want to skip ahead to the future. And we were going through the prophecies in the book of Daniel, and that we found that for 3.5 years, mankind will experience the fulfillment of, or the end result of, Satan's system, which we call Babylon. By the time the 3.5 years of tribulation will be fulfilled, we will reach the very pinnacle of Satan's system dominating human beings, to where he will take away from us any personal choice, and we will be forced, humanity will be forced to live according to his on his governmental system, what that government will tell you. Now, if we look at our political atmosphere today, it's not hard to see that it could easily become that, right? A political system that pretty well dictates what you believe and what you will do. And we're going to find in the book of Revelation that we are told that that kind of a system is going to come about. And so following that 3.5 years, and even during that 3.5 years, we see a constant increasing fulfillment of Satan's wisdom, Satan's thinking, Satan's way. So now we want to go back to the book of Revelation, chapter 18, and pick up a little bit of the story in Revelation about the future and what God says, and we'll think a little bit about it and ask ourselves a few questions in Revelation chapter 18, where we find the Babylonian system talked about and the fall of Babylon, because there is coming a time when it will fall. The whole system of this world will fall. It's going to fail. Satan's way will fail. But between now and its failure, you can imagine what it's going to be like. It's not going to be simple. It's not going to be easy. So in Revelation chapter 18, beginning of verse 1, he says, "And after these things," from the New King James Version of the Bible, "after these things, I saw another angel coming down from heaven having great authority." Notice the word. Right off the very bat, you wind up with a system that has great authority. "And the earth was illuminated with his glory. And he cried mightily with a loud voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and has become a dwelling place of demons, a prison for every foul spirit, the cage for every unclean and hated bird." And then in verse 3, it says, "For all the nations has drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication." This Babylonian system will affect all people. Whether it's in the outback areas of Africa or whether it's in the congested, populated areas of Asia, no matter where you are, people in this earth are not going to escape from having to take in of the wine of her wrath and her fornication. And it says the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her. That is this whole system. "And the merchants of the earth have become rich through the abundance of her luxury." How do you get rich? How do you finally get on top? Is you use the system to do it, right? And that's the way you get it. I was reading an article just the other day that one half of all the wealth of the world today, and you can imagine how much wealth there is in the world out there, one half of all that wealth is in the hands of 62 people. 62 people have one half of all the wealth of the world. And that's less than a few years ago, it was up to 80-some. And since, I think that was in 2014, and since 2014 to 2016, the number has gone down to 62 people that own half of the wealth. So what we realize is that Satan's system, Babylonian system, is that the few get rich at the expense of many, right? The vast majority are not going to get the wealth. It's in the hands of a few. It's hard to believe how much wealth some of these people have. I could figure somebody like Bill Gates with his riches. Billions and billions and billions of dollars he's worth. And the influence. Now, he uses much of his wealth for good causes and things, but it says in the future that all the nations are going to drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, because the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her. That they all associate with each other, and the merchants then of the earth have become rich through the abundance of her luxury. So we have to recognize that all nations, they may not all be direct descendants of Babylon, but they are all going to be influenced by the Babylonian system. And they will all have gone after the Babylonian system. They will have committed social fornication with her in order to get rich, in order to get what they can get. And they have adopted her ways. But we notice who benefits. Who benefits from all this? Those that work the system.
Okay?
They work the system. And they know how to get abundance from it. They benefit from the system. And they have abundance from her, the luxuries that she had. In verse 4 it says, "And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, lest you share in her sins and lest you receive of her plagues." There's coming a time. Now, whether this is speaking individually as Christians, or whether we're speaking about the national Israel coming out of the system, I think personally that there is coming a time when certain of the nation people are going to come out of the system, but I'm not sure who all they are. So if you become a card-carrying member of this world's systems and you buy into its system, you're going to get rich, but you also are going to share in her sins and in her plagues. In verse 5 it says, "For her sins have reached to heaven." There is coming a time between now and finally when Christ returns that the sins, not unlike what happened prior to Genesis flood, that the smell and the stench reached to heaven, right? Well, what man had concocted, what man had done. There came a time in Sodom and Gomorrah that the sins of the people, the stench of what was going on, reached the high heavens. And then God intervened. Now, was God unaware of what was going on? No. But the Bible uses the term, the fullness of their sins became apparent. And so we find this system will have reached to heaven. In other words, kind of metaphorically speaking, they are like the Tower of Babel. Why did they build the Tower of Babel? Because they wanted to reach the heavens. Metaphorically, they are building a system that will reach to heaven. In verse 6, it says, "To render to her just as she renders to you. Repay her double according to her works in the cup which she has mixed double for her. And in the measure that she glorified herself and lived luxuriously, in the same measure give her torment and sorrow." Kind of like the old saying, eye for an eye, right? Tooth for a tooth. "To the degree that she has glorified herself." Very key key statement about the system of Babylon, that it is self-glorifying. And it is self-luxury. In other words, you derive a luxury from it. "And to the degree that they live that way, they are going to be punished." And God shows how much that punishment is going to be. "And in the same measure give her torment and sorrow. For she says in her heart, I sit as queen, and I am no widow, and I will not see sorrow." In other words, she thought she was immune to what plagues were going to come. She thought she was going to be protected from whatever might done. She glorified in her own understanding, in her own glory, in her own presence. Kind of reminds you, if you go back to Ezekiel 28, when it talks about Satan and him going before God, he was glorifying in his own power and his own wealth and his own ability and his own vanity. The system that he has built is going to be doing the same thing, self-glorifying. Now we have a little bit, as you can see, going on now of this common bringing all nations together, bringing all peoples into somewhat of an understanding of what's acceptable. I'm not saying that the UN is part of it, but still they are striving to protect themselves by having, in quote, the unity among all nations, right? That we'll all survive if we just share. And what is against the system is that some people or some nations have more than what others have. That the solution is spread the wealth evenly, spread the power evenly. Don't have any really great nations, but that we all become like everybody else. And nobody can look to anybody, including Israel, as being more important than others. And you can see some of that going on today of what's happening. And as they gather more and more into the system, God becomes less and less important. Frankly, God isn't even talked about today much, is he? I mean, how much does our Congress talk about whether God approves or disapproves of something? We don't talk about God or the importance of God. They always talk about the system. And they have created a system that brings glory to itself instead of glorifying God. And they have a system that lives luxuriously because great wealth is for herself, for the few. And she says in her heart that great confidence in the fornication with the system will work. The ability to work it, to understand it, and have all the answers, then we will see more and more sorrow as they come that way. Verse 8 goes on, he says, therefore, her plagues will come in one day. Death and mourning and famine, and she will be utterly burned with fire, for strong is the Lord God who judges her. This whole system is going to be judged. Now, the system's the same as Satan's system, man's system, in opposition and defiance to God. So we're going to see a time will come when it will collapse swiftly. Swiftly. And there will have no answers for the problems when it comes. But they're going to run out of answers. For example, a financial crisis might come, or who knows what. We find that the system will work for certain individuals. There is an allure to it. So it will work until it doesn't work. Okay? They think it's working, but suddenly they're going to realize that it doesn't work. Verse 9 says, so the kings of the earth who committed fornication and have lived luxurious with her will weep and lament for her when they see the smoke of her burning. You know, we can look at the world today and we kind of think it's going to continue on and on and on and on and on forever. Your Bible and the prophecies in the Bible tells you that there is coming a swift judgment for what man is doing, for what man is building. And it's going to come quickly. And so we find that these kings of the earth, that is not just the common people, but even the kings of the nations, the kings and the rulers, the political ruling class, the elite, the very few at the top who understand how to work the system and have committed fornication with her, they're going to all weep and lament when they find my ability to gain has gone. It's all gone. Not unlike the king of Tyre in times past. So he says in verse 10, so standing at a distance for fear of her torment, and alas, alas, that great city Babylon, that mighty city, for in 1 hour your judgment has come. 1 hour. Now, we don't know exactly what 1 hour is necessarily, but it is a short time, right? A very short period of time that judgment will come, and all of the rulers have been standing off a little bit at a distance, thinking that we are going to escape everything, and now we find that it's all coming to pass. In verse 12, he says, and the merchants, the traders, all of our trade agreements, all of the things man has tried to do in order to spread wealth, and all the earth and the merchants of the earth are going to weep and mourn over her, for no one buys their merchandise anymore. So not the poor and not those who gain wealth by her, not the few. Verse 12 says, merchandise of gold and silver and precious stones and pearls and fine linen, purple silk and scarlet, every kind of citron wood, every kind of object of ivory, every kind of object of most precious wood, bronze, iron, and marble, and the cinnamon and the incense and the fragrant oil and the frankincense, wine and oil, fine flour and wheat and cattle and sheep and horses and chariots and bodies of and souls of men. So this system. And then in verse 14 it says, and the fruit that your soul longed for has gone. That wealth that you wanted to get, that protection that you wanted, is gone. And all of the things which are rich and splendid have gone from you, and you shall find them no more at all. And the merchants of these things who became rich by her will stand at a distance for fear of her torment, weeping and wailing. And verse 16 is saying, and saying, alas, alas, that great city that was clothed in fine linen and purple and scarlet and adorned with gold and precious stones and pearls. For in 1 hour, such great riches came to nothing. Can you imagine how a whole system that has been put together in support of a whole governmental system can all collapse in 1 hour? Whatever 1 hour is, very quickly. When you take away the support, it all comes tumbling down very quickly. And so verse 18 says, and they cried out when they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, what is like this great city? I mean, here we, this is the pinnacle of all of our imagination, our ingenuity, and our wisdom all put together, and it's going to come to an end in 1 hour of what man can do. And so they cried with saw the smoke, saying, what is this? The great city. And they threw dust on their heads and they cried out, weeping and wailing and saying, alas, alas, that great city in which all who had ships on the sea became rich by her wealth. For in 1 hour she is made desolate. Suddenly the whole Babylonian system ends. That system based upon Satan's concepts, Satan's ways, Satan's thoughts that man has been willing to buy into, that it's gone. And it becomes nothing. So verse 20 says, rejoice over her, O heaven, and you holy apostles and prophets, for God has avenged you on her. So those who partake of her system will mourn. Those who have come out of the system will rejoice, because we are looking beyond what is actually happening at that time. Things will become clear that we go beyond that. Verse 21, he then says that there came a mighty angel who took up a stone like a great millstone and threw it into the sea, saying, thus with violence the city Babylon will be thrown down and shall not be found anymore. Now, we're not saying that it is whether it's a physical city or not, we don't know. But it certainly is a system that will be thrown down. And it says, the song of harpists and musicians and flautists and trumpeters shall not be heard in you anymore. There's not going to be any Broadway musicals going on. There's not going to be any great concerts. There's not going to be all the things that man tries to do to bring joy into their lives. They're gone. No craftsman of any craft shall be found in you anymore, and the sound of a millstone shall not be heard in you anymore. In other words, the grinding millstones. And it says, the light of a lamp shall not shine in you anymore, and the voice of the bridegroom and the bride shall not be heard in you anymore. There's not going to be more any weddings going on. For your merchants were the great men of the earth. For by your sorcery, all the nations were deceived. Now, I don't necessarily buy into all the conspiracy things, but there is a lot of things going on underneath, right, that we don't know about. A system that is based upon what a few can get. We don't know what they all are. But we do know that it says that their sorcery, their magic, that all these different nations are deceived. Those who know how to work the system become great men. They become great men. Let's turn over a little bit to another scripture, back a few pages in Revelation chapter 13. Revelation chapter 13. And we find this system that is, and what we need to always recognize, as I said before in the previous sermon, all the system is carried from one part of the system to the other one. They are all part of the same image. And so the weaknesses get carried on down. Picking it up there anyway in chapter 13 of the book of Revelation, where he said in verse 11, and I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spoke as a dragon. He exercised all the power of the first beast before him, and he caused the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. So he has power and authority. And he does great wonders. However all this comes to pass, there is going to be some stupendous supernatural wonders going on. And he does great wonders, and so much so that he makes fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men, and deceives them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast. How all that's going to work? But there's going to be some stupendous supernatural powers that are unleashed upon the face of the earth. And this second beast is going to worship the beast. And in verse 15 he says, and he had power to give life unto the image of the beast. Now, how, if you saw this image, when we were giving the other sermon, we went back to Daniel, and you saw this image of the head of gold and the torso, or the shoulders and things of silver, and then the bronze, and then you had the miry clay and the iron. The whole statue, the whole system. If we have something similar to that in the end time, and suddenly you see that whole statue living or having life, being able to move and go places, it would turn people's eyes, wouldn't it? Suddenly they're going to think, hey, wait a minute, what is this? And it's going to have a great power. He said, verse 15, and he had the power to give life unto the image of the beast. that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. There's coming a time of separation of those who are going to worship that beast and his power and those who refuse to do so. Not unlike Daniel, who refused to bow down to the image. And they threw him in a fire, didn't they? And he was spared from it. So he says, verse 16, and he caused all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads. Now, a lot of speculation is going into what that mark might be. All the way from social security number to who knows what, you know, differing things that they might have. But some way or the other, there's going to be an identifying mark that will enable them, in verse 17, to be able to buy and sell. And that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. That the system will only accept people who are part of the system. And they're going to be willing to stamp their stamp of approval on individuals who are willing to commit themselves to this system for their security, for their life, for their protection. And the vast majority we find of human beings on the face of the earth are going to be willing to do that. There will be a few that are not going to be willing to do that. But when you are not willing to do that, basically you are putting a death sentence upon yourself. A death sentence. Let's turn over to the book of 2 Thessalonians. We pick up a little bit more of what the future is going to be. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, and let's pick it up in verse 1, he says, now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him, that you be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter as from us, that the day of Christ is at hand. And let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there be a great falling away first, and that the man of sin will be revealed, the son of perdition. Remember when we were reading back in the book of Daniel, it said that the time would come when that which holds things back will be crushed. It will be crushed and put out of the way. In verse 3 it says, and let no man deceive you by any means. In verse 4 it says, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called a god or that is worshipped, so that he as God sits in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. How all that takes place is going to some way or the other, it will become obvious that a being is going to be sitting where he ought not to be sitting, claiming to be God, with all authority and with all the magic and the power. But he says in verse 5, remember you not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things, and now you know that what holds it back or restrains that it might be revealed in his time. It's kind of awkward King James language, but what he really is saying is there is something that is holding this whole thing back. There is something that is restraining his power and his authority. that is restraining it becoming dominating of all human beings. And it will be restraining until God takes it out of the way, and then who knows what will happen, right? So he says, for the mystery of iniquity is already working. That Babylonian system is already working in the world. It's already there. But it does already work, and only he who now restrains it until it be taken out of the way. And when that is taken out of the way, I believe personally, based upon also what it says in the book of Daniel, that it is the people of God who is causing this whole thing to be restrained for the time being. And when that people no longer is present to be able to be the restraining force, then there is nothing to hold back all of this satanic, subtle, deceptive power of a Babylonian system. That there is a system out there right now that would tend to become a lot more powerful and dominating if there were not something holding it back, restraining it. And that something might be you and me that is holding it back right now. Those people who have committed themselves to God, who are trusting in God. But he says, verse 6, and now you know that what holds or withholds that he might be revealed in his time, for the mystery of iniquity does already work, only he who now restrains or lets will let until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked, it's interesting, that all he says is that wicked, okay, doesn't qualify it or any way, he just says that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Just prior to Christ returning, the wicked is going to reach its highest point, its most aggravating point. And that wicked will become to full bloom. But it will be then consumed. Verse 9 says, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan. This whole system, God says, is the same system. Satan's system. A system that is designed to topple God from his position. It's in defiance of God. Defiance of the authority of God. Defiance of the protection that is in God. And it is after the working of Satan, who will come with all power and signs and lying wonders and with all deceivableness. When you put the word A-L-L in front of something, I don't know what that totally means. If you can have deceivableness and then you have all deceivableness, okay? If you have all power and all lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And so for this cause, then, God will send them strong delusions that they should believe a lie. There is coming a time when all of the systems are going to come to the pinnacle of human power and human existence, along with the influence of Satan. So what's the great purposes of this whole system? It offers an alternative to relying on God. It is a system that offers protection other than from God. It is a system that would have you serve the system. and take all of your personal rights, your personal freedoms away. It will consolidate all the power into a few people's hands, and it will control the masses by differing means. So it will come to that consolidated power to the point where the few, the Bible term is the few, F-E-W, few. One will even declare himself to be God. So it offers all of these things. It will demand compliance. It will demand utter subjection and worship to it. So we have a whole bunch of systems today, and I don't care whatever system you want to talk about, they are all going to work together to bring about a phenomenal, man-made, satanically inspired system called Babylon the Great. Whether it's healthcare, education, commerce, regulatory, political, whatever system, it's all going to be based upon that same thing. And the world then must come to know that the system does not have the solutions. The world has to come to know what you already know, that the answers are not in a political Babylonian system, and that that system will fall and it will fail. Now, we already know that. The few already know that. And we should then be living our lives because we know that in a certain way. In a certain way. So what should we be doing? The answer, what should our attitude be? I want to go back to 1 Thessalonians, then chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians, where God gives us a little bit of an insight into what our position should be as the people of God today. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, in the first 11 verses, he says, "But the times and of the seasons you don't need, brethren, you have no need that I write to you. For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night." It's going to surreptitiously, suddenly appear with all of its power. And we may see it then afterwards and say, yeah, we knew it was all gathering this momentum, but all of a sudden it's there. And so it says, verse 3, "For when they shall say peace and safety, and when then will be sudden destruction come upon them, as travail upon a woman and child, and they shall not escape." You know, suddenly, I've never been a woman. I've never had birth pains. But my wife has had it. And you know, it suddenly comes. There is a moment in time in that 9 months of pregnancy. There is a moment when that process starts, right? At the end. When that pain comes. And God likens it the same way as the system. "For when they will say peace and safety," in other words, oh, we got it all under control, we have everything taken care of, we have our health care system, and we have our death system, and we have our birth system, and we have all of these things, and that we know how to take care of everybody. He says, "Whenever they cry safety and peace, and there will be sudden destruction upon them as a travail upon a woman with child." That first birth pang is going to come, leading to actual birth. Sometimes it's in the middle of the night, right? Who knows when it might be. "But you, brethren, are not in darkness that you should be overtaken as a thief. Because you are the children of light and the children of the day, and we are not of the night nor of this darkness." In other words, we are not ignorant of the system that started in the days of Babylon, in the days of the Tower of Babel. We are not ignorant of what Satan's system has been down through 6,000 years of man's history. And we know that there is coming a climax to the system. So you are children of the light and the children of the day, and you are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, because we are not children of the dark, therefore let us not sleep. You know, most people sleep at night, right? In the dark. So he says, don't sleep, because we're not in the dark. We're not at night. Spiritually, we are in the day, and we ought to see light being in the day. So therefore, let us not sleep as do others, because others are in the dark. The world is in the dark. You are not. So he says that, but let us who are of the day be sober. Going back to verse 6. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, and putting on the breastplate of faith and love, for the helmet, the hope of salvation. For God has not appointed us to wrath. He's not called you to have to endure the wrath that's coming upon all the world. He hasn't appointed us to that. But to obtain salvation by and through the Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that we, whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. And therefore, wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as you also do. That we have to look around us, see what's happening. Know that the Babylonian system is present in the world today. And it's going to get stronger. And it's going to get more powerful. And we who are of the day ought to be comforting, supporting one another. And that we know what is coming, we ought to be alert. We ought to be sober. And what should we do? Knowing that Babylonian system is there, keep the faith, love each other, and keep the hope burning brightly in our life. Because you're the ones right now who are helping to hold back what eventually is going to come. And when we are taken out of that way, and God allows our presence to no longer be the restraining factor, then the world is going to come to its climax, the Babylonian system. So let's keep our faith, let's keep our love, let's keep the hope burning brightly in our lives.